Blog Talk Radio.
The date was May 14th at 10 past 10. I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point, I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time. I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things. I could tell you gon' rise, because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show with Ordinary Woman Chelly Alejandro and Mountain Man / Chris.
Chris, hey, how's it going, people? How's it going? I hope everybody had a great day. And we're here. I'm so excited for the show we're going to have. We're going to have some really good guests on today. Chris, I see that you're not feeling too well.
No, I've started coming down with the cold. Second day in a row, so if I don't sound like myself to our listeners, I am here. I may be muted myself, but I will be here and there throughout the two-hour show that we are having with a lot of our guests that we will be having. So, but I will be able to chat in the room here and there as I do with my other jobs here. But anyhow, so to get us started, if you'd like to call in, our call-in number is 347-989-1473.
Or you can reach us on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinary woman, WMN is the spelling for woman. You can join us in the chat room, or you can Skype us. You can reach me through Ordinary Woman, WMN, on Skype as well. And call in that way. If you go to the segment page, you can actually click right on the Skype button and you will be able to go right in through there as well. Or you can ask questions in the chat room and we can get them to the guests, or you can just hang around and listen to us. And we're real excited to have all the people in the chat room already. I apologize if I sound a little distracted, because I'm actually answering an email for one of our future
Then I will go ahead and say hello to Belle, Carla, guest 2114, JJ 2341, Lily 231, Marta, Mary, Sally 4680, and William.
Hey, everybody. I hope everybody's doing fine tonight, staying warm, relaxing after a hard day's work, or maybe you had the day off and you got to hang out. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time, we actually have a theme this year. 2010 is the year of change, and I know I'm not running for president. Not yet anyway. That might be on my to-do list. Actually, I'll make my husband run for president. I've got to be the first lady and his boss. Oh, man. No, so
making me laugh over here.
I know. You sound funny. You sound like that cartoon character, Precious. Remember that from, what was he on? I can't remember the TV show, but Granny. It was the Granny's dog, and his name was Precious, and every time he laughed like, and you sound like that. That's so funny.
Oh, goodness. So to our normal listeners, please, if you have any questions for me, just pop them up in the chat room, and either Charlie and I will respond to them, or Charlie will
absolutely
be able to tell me if I have any in the room, and then I'll be able to go switch to the room and answer your questions. So
right.
Please.
So we decided that 2010 was going to be the year of change. So we've talked in prior segments about ways that we can change our thinking, set goals, and have ways to be able to actually make our resolutions a reality. So we just want to stay focused on that. And one of the things we talked about at the last show was we like to have silly names for the days of the week that we actually have shows. So we're real excited about the fact that we encourage the listeners to come up with ideas of their own, for you guys to come up with ideas and let us know what you would think some of the names would be cool or any suggestions or ideas you might have. And I actually got an email today from one of our listeners, and I'd like to share a little bit of it. I won't tell you her name because I didn't get the opportunity to ask her if it would be okay. But one of the things she did mention is she said, I was wondering, out of curiosity, if you are ever going to talk about relationships on your show or spiritual things. And it's funny because, yes, we actually are. We are planning a monthly segment where we're going to have various spiritual leaders from different denominations come in and basically give us a history lesson on their faith, what they truly believe, what they're about, so we can get rid of some of the misconceptions. And that way we can get a better understanding for whatever religion it happens to be that we'll be discussing in that segment. And as far as relationships, too, we also have a couple of people in the works. I have a doctor who is a doctor of psychology, and we're actually going to have him in hopefully next month. He's going to come in and talk to us about how to have better communication in marriages, especially if it's your second or third marriage where you bring stepchildren or other in-laws that, you know, you have an extended family, that the so-called blended family. So we're going to have a segment on that as well. And that's a great suggestion, and I'm glad you brought it up because we actually are having that in the works. So I guess great minds think alike. So that's awesome.
Do I know this emailer?
I don't think so, no. I'll forward you the email, and once I get the opportunity to email and ask her if it's okay for me to use her name on the air, I will. So one of the things is she came up with some really cool names, and I think I've liked them, and I think we might actually wind up using a couple of them. She came up with Manic Monday, and I really like that because I know we do the Motivational Monday, but Manic Monday just seems so full of energy and enthusiasm, and actually it's great because you can take a word that a lot of times when you hear the word manic, people think negatively, and I think that's a great way for us to switch it around and make it a positive thing. The other one she came up with, which I really like, was Thoughtful Tuesday. I thought that was a great idea. She also came up with Wacky Wednesday, Typical Thursday, and Fun Friday. So those were her suggestions, and I really like them. So let's see what our other listeners have out there and see if we can talk this listener. And I'm really excited. She has some really great ideas, and I'm glad she emailed me, and I'm looking forward to hearing from her again.
Gee, that sounds like somebody I know, but I won't say anything.
Yeah, well, once you see the name, you'll figure it out. So today's guest, we have two guests, and I'm really, really excited about it. Our first guest is going to be David. Now, David is an amazing person. He's really involved in his community. He actually has come up with ways, and I'll let him explain a little bit more, how we can give back to our community. Because I know a lot of times when we think about giving back to the community, we always think about, oh, man, I got to give all this time, or I have to write a check, and I might not have it, especially now that people are, you know, they're running tight for money with the recession and everything that went on, people losing their jobs and their homes. So even though we might want to help, some people can't. They just don't have the financial means.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things David has done is he really gives people the ideas just kind of think outside the box. You know, there's ways that we can still give back to our community. And I actually had the opportunity to do a couple things with him last year, and we'll talk about that when he calls in, which you'll be calling him in a little bit. The other person that we're going to have in the second hour, because this is our first two-hour show, and we're real excited about that. Great minds think alike, right? Is Mark Voigt. And now Mark is an amazing person. He's an actor. He does voiceovers very well, by the way. And I actually put a link on his of some of his voices on our segment page. And he did have a lot of other ones, but I really like this one because he just seemed like he was having fun with it, just goofing around and making different characters and voices. So I decided to share that.
And it was a awesome little...
Wasn't it? I thought it was awesome. I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Mark
and
did
the other thing
awesome.
Is,
great.
Yeah, and the other thing that was cool about it was the way we met. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when they call in. Thoughts of the day. It's Thursday, and it's funny. One of the things I have been reflecting on this year, and I actually, we've talked about it before, just in passing, and I've actually
Reflection Thursday.
Yes, yes, I'm reflecting on Thursday. One of the things that is eminent, and we talked about peace work, we talked about the fact that if you have something that you want to accomplish and you feel overwhelmed because it's too huge, we have the tendency to just say, oh, forget it, I can't do it, it's too big. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I reflect on this with my daughter, is that sometimes, and actually a lot more times than we realize, we make a bigger mess in order to clean up our clutter.
Mm-hmm.
The example is, last summer, I had to actually clean out my garage. And believe it or not, it seemed like there was a lot more stuff outside once I took everything out than had been originally inside. And I remember the boys teasing me and a couple of people saying, man, you just got a disaster area here. But that's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes we have to have the courage to dig deep and make a huge mess out of our lives, not in a bad way, but in digging through stuff, through the clutter, through figuring out the things we don't need, the things we do need, the things we want, the things we don't want, and figuring out what we can get rid of, what we can give away, what we can share, and what we can just totally do without. And when we start doing that, that's when we're able to start learning to organize our lives. And I know for me, after I finished that disaster area that everybody was teasing me about, my garage looked pretty awesome. I mean, everything was organized. It was in its place. There was a lot more room. We got rid of a lot of stuff we really did not need.
Mm.
Now, it sounds great in theory. And again, I'm cautioning our listeners because of the fact that it's been a year since I did that, and because everybody in my family uses that garage, it's pretty much back to where it was before as far as the mess. And I know that when it warms up a little bit more, I will go in there and I will redo it. And once again, I'll make a bigger mess. And
No bigger mess.
I know. But see, that's the thing right there. And I'm using this as an example because sometimes we get rid of the clutter. We get our life organized. And then others come along and add their baggage, their clutter, their issues, their drama to our life, and all of a sudden our life is full of a mess again. It's a disaster again.
I think we need to figure on.
That's all right. They can hear us. We'll pick them up in a few minutes when I finish the thought. So the thing that I want to encourage you guys with is to not let that happen to you. If it's something that you welcome in your life and you want to have it be there, that's great. But don't let other people impose their drama, their issues. Mm-hmm. Like I always tell my kids, their lack of planning on their part does not constitute an emergency on my part. You have to remember that. It sounds harsh, but it's not, because the reality is you're a good person, you deserve a good life, and you deserve to be able to live the quality of life you want. And it's not that people are mean or selfish, it's just that sometimes they get so caught up in their own thing that they don't realize how much of an imposition they're being or how much of a mess they're making in your life. Women and guys, especially parents, are notorious for this. Last minute, kids like, oh, I forgot I need 2 dozen brownies or this or that. And all of a sudden, parents will drop everything and anything to go do whatever that is. Guys, a time comes in life when we need to focus on ourselves, because if not, you're going to be angry and you're going to be bitter and you're going to have that disaster area for a very long time. So you need to realize that not everything is an emergency. You don't have to drop your life every time someone picks up the phone. And you don't have to pick up the phone every time it rings. If it's that important, they'll call back. And you know the difference if it's an emergency or not. So my thought for you today is to start thinking of ways that you can declutter and prioritize what's really important for you. And learn the magic word, no. Because once you learn that, then you realize that it'll make you a better person and it'll be make you more willing when you do have the time and the ability to help out. So that's what I'm going to leave you guys with. Mountain Man, I guess we've got callers. Why don't we go through and see who we got?
I'll pick up line two and then go from there.
Awesome.
Good evening. You're on the Diamond on the Rough show. Who's this, please?
This is David.
David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks, guys. How are you?
Excuse me.
Very good. David, first of all, I would like you to please pronounce your last name for us. I didn't want to butcher it on the air, so I want you to give us the correct pronunciation.
It's Ducharme.
Ducharme. Awesome. So, David, I am so excited that you actually got to call in. But real quick, why don't you hold on a second before we go into your interview. Mountain Man, why don't you pick up the third caller and find out who that is?
Okay. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this, please? Hello?
Kathleen.
Kathleen, how you doing this evening?
Good.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing? Do you have any questions or comments for the show?
No, actually, I just got on.
That's awesome. So did you have any questions for us or just wanted to listen to the show?
I just wanted to listen to the show.
Awesome. Well, Kathleen, we'll make sure we put you back on the line so you can listen to the show. And thank you for joining us. It's real nice that you did and that you're hanging out with us this evening. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Amokman, you can mute her so she can listen to the show. Awesome.
Yep,
so, David, I am so excited that we have you here. Oh, I'm doing great. So, David, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the things that you've been working on lately?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me onto your show. I've been listening to some of the episodes over the last couple of weeks, and I'm pretty impressed. To actually have this forum where you can have like-minded individuals share, you know, some of the same views that we do. So with that said, like we talked about, my name is David, and last year I had formed a group of people. We are about 50 members strong, and we are in the process right now of getting our organization under a nonprofit status, which is extremely hard, so that's one of our first hurdles that we are trying to get over. But we've had, interested members all the way down to Penn State, all the way up to Chicago.
Really? That's excellent.
And like I said, it is like-minded people who think that giving back to their community is something that they might want to be involved in.
Now, David, what exactly do you guys want to accomplish? Or like, what's the mission statement of the organization, and where do you see it going?
Well, we have specific goals on wanting to help people within our community. We know that there's a lot of great companies out there, and a lot of great nonprofits out there that do a lot of great work under governmental or nonprofits. But it's just our way of giving back to our community, where we get out actually into our community, perform some fundraisers, and invite people to see what we're all about, and hopefully they'll be able to join, our fight in the good fight in giving back to our local communities.
That's a great idea. Now, what are some of the ways that you would want to give back? I mean, would it be just a specific, like, would it be for at-risk youth, people homeless? Would it be to develop the community? Where do you see yourself giving, and what area would you want to concentrate in more?
Well, there are hundreds of fantastic nonprofits out there, but there are five that we've kind of narrowed it down to, kind of on the local chapters here in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
First, one of the biggest ones, of course, that you know is the 3-Day Walk, which I did the 3-Day Walk yesterday. Anybody out there who does not know this about Charlie and I met last year when I put a call out to some actors who wanted to get together, have a good time for one night, and we were going to do a fundraiser to benefit the 3-Day Walk. And I was overwhelmed with 30 people that were involved that wanted to get involved, whether it was acting or some type of behind the scenes and things of that nature, and actually put on a fantastic show, and we actually had to turn people away who wanted to buy tickets, which was really heartwarming to me. But we reached our capacity of 70 people at this fundraiser, and we still had emails and phone calls coming in after that. So
yeah,
we are
and
hoping
it was
to do another one this year, Charlie. So
I am looking forward to it. Hopefully this year I can actually stay on my feet.
But it's hopefully we're going to be able to get a bigger venue and air conditioning.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, though, giving everything. Now, for our listeners who you know, didn't see, we have this venue, and I know I always think that, but David, you put this together, and it was just amazing, number one, the talent that you wind up getting together. I mean, I got to work with and meet some of the most amazing, talented people that I have met in my whole life.
Agreed.
I mean, just the energy and the stuff that I learned from them as actors was just phenomenal. But the other aspect of it was how caring and giving they were of their time and effort. And I'm not talking just the actors, too. I mean, obviously we had the people that prepared the food because it was, you know, you set it up as a dinner mystery kind of theater show. And the food was delicious. They cooked the food, and it was a hot summer day, and it was hot in there. What?
It was 90 degrees outside, and I think it was probably 100 inside.
It was. What got me, too, on top of that is obviously the actors and stuff. You know, we actors, we're hands. Once we get into a role, we just tune everything out. But the people that went there was amazing because, like you said, you actually wind up turning people away because it was packed. There was really nowhere else to put anybody else. And for them to be there and as warm as it was and enjoy the show and be part of it, it was a really great experience. Now, is this something that you had done before, or how did you actually get involved into doing things like this?
This was actually my first attempt. If you ever have a dream and then you wake up one day from this dream and you have no idea what you dreamt, but you know that it was something important. That's what happened to me at the early part of last year, is that I woke up and there was just something that I had dreamt that I couldn't remember, as, you know, weird as that sounds.
No, I know what you're talking about.
I know exactly what you're saying, too.
But from that point on, I just felt that there was something. I mean, I reached a point in my life, and I think maybe a lot of your listeners might have reached a point in their life, too. 43 years old, single dad of two, and there was just so much more that's out there that I could be doing versus, you know, what my life was at that point. So. I have a very good friend who was affected by breast cancer, as I know that you've had family and friends and families that have been affected by it. And together, with her in mind and in back, and she gave me a whole bunch of suggestions and things of that nature, we formed NewHampshireGivesBack.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we tipped it off with the three-day walk last year. And we raised quite a bit of money during the whole thing. We reached our goal and then some. And we're hoping again to do it again this year, definitely. That's one of the
orders. And I'm telling you, and it's funny because, like, you just shared with us that this is the first time that you've undertaken something like this. But I have to tell you, the fact that, I mean, from, you know, getting the actors ready, going through the rehearsals, getting the venue ready, the decorations, you know, everything, it was just amazing. You were like a whirlwind getting all this organized. And then to top it off, you know, the money you were raising, so, and then you had to do the interviews and making sure that the tickets were sold and stuff. So it was a real testament to me to your dedication and just what an amazing job you did with something that now I'm learning that, you know, that this is the first time you were doing that. So what other organizations would you be interested in helping out?
We also want to reach out to New Horizons in Manchester, which is a food bank, and it's a shelter also for battered women and children. Of course, Habitat for Humanity was always a big one. I do have a friend who actually lives in a house outside of Concord who was built by that organization. One of my favorites, Make-A-Wish Foundation, of course, granting wishes to children in New Hampshire, never seeing Mickey before or going to a baseball game. I actually came across last year a young lady who just wanted a day as a princess.
Oh.
That is an awesome organization.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And knowing the hundreds of people I know in reference to actors and whatnot, you know, I'm working with a couple of people to hopefully go in there and actually bring actors in for a couple of hours at her house with her parents.
Oh, my goodness. That would be an amazing thing to do.
Just making that. And then the last one is the New Hampshire Healthy Kids. So that, you know, me having two kids myself, so, some of those are hit home really hard. But, of course, you know, like I said, there are hundreds out there that we could have chose from, but at least these five, I think, have hit probably maybe your listeners and yourself, possibly one of these organizations, you know.
That's very true. Now, just to back it up a little bit, David, because, I mean, as you're coming into it, you know, at this part of your life, what was it about you growing up? Like, I know you've done theater before.
I didn't get into acting until I was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been acting for 23 years. I also direct, too. So I've been directing children for the last 12 years. Which I absolutely love doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into the acting aspect of it.
Now, is that something that you wanted to do as a child, or is this something that you discovered as an adult?
I discovered it as an adult, believe it or not. I met my ex-wife. I don't think I've ever told you this story, but I met my ex-wife at Benson's Animal Farm. Do you remember that?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, I was playing Dippity Dog. So I was actually a character that I played, and she actually worked at the Deputy Dog hot dog stand.
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of my favorite actors, Deputy Dog.
Yeah, so I met a couple of actors that were kind of, they were kids. They were like 15 or 16 at the time, and they introduced me to an organization in Nashua, and that was back in 1987. So I've been acting and directing since 87.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, how did you discover your knack for directing?
Well, my love for children, I think probably it stemmed from that. So I was fortunate enough to work with an organization in Nashua that gave me my first gig, so to speak. And they gave me my first chance, my first shot at directing a show with the kids. And there were 8 to 12, and there were 50 of them.
What? Oh, my goodness.
And that was a pretty interesting show that I did, coming right out of, you know, not doing anything of this nature, but, you know, acting for a few years, so I knew. And it's just like you get the acting bug, you get the directing bug, and it just tumbled on from there.
Now, if any of our listeners are interested in maybe doing something like this, whether it's, you know, getting involved with any of these organizations or maybe even creating a nonprofit, or if there's ways they can reach out to the community, because I know one of the things you mentioned to me was that there's ways to give back to the community that doesn't involve a lot of money, because I know anytime, like now with all the people in Haiti, I mean, with that catastrophe that happened over there from the earthquake, that's the first thing people think about. Do I have money to send over there? Is that something that I can do? And, you know, some people have had a rough year. I mean, 2009 was rough for a lot of them. They lost homes, they lost jobs, the recession that we keep hearing about. So what are ways that we can actually give to our community that doesn't involve, you know, making sacrifices where we can't afford to take money out of our pockets to do that?
I think, well, one of the more important things, which is why I was a little late getting on to this call, is I left work a little bit late, and I came home, and I went to my cupboard, and I pulled everything out of my cupboard that I've already paid for, you know, anything that's canned goods, and I went down to the local ironworks here in Manchester, who was holding, you know, an area opened up where people can come and make donations and things of that nature. So I think that's where they can first start, is just actually going to their cupboards and seeing exactly what they could donate and find out in their local areas. You know, I'm up in New Hampshire, so I don't know where your base, and you folks are down in Lowell. So I don't know if there's an area down in that area. But it's just to get online and look where your local, for that particular one, for the Haitians, and trying to help out there. But there are other things that...
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the canned goods, because I know there's a certain time of year that when we had all the kids at home, we're down to technically one full time. But I remember that there were a couple of times that I did come home and I'm like, goodness, what? I mean, everything in our cupboards was gone. And it was because the school was doing a food drive, and, you know, they would just take everything. Like, they didn't even bother to ask. And I remember the first time that happened, I said to them, well, did you guys think to ask, you know, why you took everything that was in the house? to donate. And I remember my daughter being the one who said, but Mom, we can afford to get other stuff these people can't. And if we have to do without for a couple of days, it's not going to kill us. And, I mean, what a life lesson for me as an adult to go, wow, she's right. And my son was the funniest. He's like, seriously, Mom, I don't think we're going to miss the can of peas and carrots and all that other stuff that you're always fighting with us to eat that other people could use. So that's a great idea that you can go through your, you know, through your cupboard and check for stuff that, you know, you've had there that it's still good and that you can donate to people that obviously are going to need it and that can do something with it.
Exactly. And there are places in every community that will be able to get that to them if needed.
That's a great idea. Real quick, I'll stop you there, David. For our listeners, if you want to call in, Mountain Man, you give them the number, please?
Sure. The number that you would like to call in and ask our guest any questions you have, any comments, concerns, and all that, the number is 347-989-1473.
Or you can reach us through Skype if you hit up Ordinary Woman, WMN, and you can Skype us as well because our Skype is up. Or you can go on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman WMN. You can join us in the chat room or you can just listen and hang out and listen to David. David's talking to us about an amazing nonprofit that he has people that are involved in ways that they're going to give back to their communities. And one of the suggestions he made was donating canned goods or food that we have in our own home right now that we can share with others that are in great need. And that's one of the things that I remember a couple of months ago listening to the news where they were saying that the shelves at the local food banks were getting emptier a lot quicker than they were getting filled because people were hurting. And they also were mentioning how they were seeing people that they normally did not see because things had gotten so bad there for a while. So, David, what other ways do you think that we can help as a community for others that are less fortunate than ourselves?
Well, there have been times that you've, you know, quite frankly, most of the time, a lot of times I heard you say where people have to look within themselves. So, you know, my challenge would be to have your listeners really sit back and think of what matters most to them. If it definitely, for me, it was there is something that I possibly could do that really doesn't cost a lot of money. So I came up with my own ideas on what I could do specifically. But I think for each listener out there that might have, you know, an idea that they think that they might have in reference to not spending a lot of money, I can, you know, let you know in some of the things that I've done in the past and that I'm currently doing now where it doesn't cost me any money for me specifically.
Right.
Which is the reason why that I think that, you know, most people need to search with them and come up with some great ideas. And they can always shoot me off an email, you know, to ask me anything that we've talked about tonight, you know, in reference to that. I have, you know, plenty of part-time jobs between the directing and my full-time job. And I also have another part-time job where I give back 10% of my salary to the organization, the New Hampshire Gives Back. So we're dispersing 10% of my salary through there. But because it's a part-time job for me, it's almost like it's added income.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because that's one thing that my husband and I have been doing for years. We do that where we donate 10% of our incoming income. And I can't tell you how many times people look at us like, what is wrong with you? You know, like they think, not that we shared with people, but we've had a couple of instances where, you know, for one reason or the other, they find out. And they think that that's this, like, huge amount of money. But the reality is that, like you're saying, you have this part-time job, so for you it's more like added income. But one of the things that I've learned from that is that we've actually gotten better at managing money. And the other thing is, because I happen to be very religious, it's almost like the blessings just pour in. It's really weird. I can't explain it because I know that it always seems like anytime we donate something or give something, it's almost like we wind up getting more back. I don't know if that makes sense to our listeners, but it is. It's a great way to do it. I know that a few years back, I don't remember who had it, but they actually had a public service announcement, and it was something like, give five back, and they were talking about either 5% of your income, 5% of your time, and those were ways that we could help in our community. And I know in our everyday life, it's very easy to get caught up in us and our issues and our concerns, but we sometimes forget that there are people out there that are seriously hurting. I mean, they are in dire straits, and we forget about that. We really do get so caught up in our everyday life that we kind of just put it aside and totally forget how lucky and how blessed we are at times. David, I have to ask you, because I know you're such an amazing person, but did you always have this desire kind of like being this philanthropist kind of person, or is this something that awoke in you later, or is this something that you had as a child as well?
No, this was something that, like I said, just hit me about a year ago, and I never gave it much thought. I think everybody does, like you said, go on day to day and really not think about much of anything other than a day to day, which is, you know, pretty normal, you know. And from that point on, it's not that it consumed my mind all the time, but it was always in the forefront from that point on that I knew that there just has to be something different. And if I can, and you'll probably can attest to that too, if you're able to bring smiles and laughter to people while you perform, there's no reason why you can't do that the same thing by, you know, making, you know, a child laugh down at the food or smile because, you know, you dedicated a couple of hours to go down there and help serve food, or, you know, you came down with 12 cans of, you know, creamed corn, which is, you know, my daughter's favorite, you know, things of that nature. So it's there on the forefront, and it's something that's always going to be with me now going forward, and it's something that I'm just going to be passionate about going, you know, going forward.
The other thing, too, that I want to share with our listeners, if David will humor me here, is one of the things that I noticed is when we were getting prepared for the show and for you to do the fundraiser for the 3-day cancer walk was how involved your kids were in the whole process as well. Now, that is an amazing life lesson for them to be learning by your example. Have you shared anything with them, or have they given you any feedback as to the things that they see you do?
Well, they are pretty involved in everything that I do, whether it'll be acting or directing, things of that nature. So they were thrilled when they actually were able to help out Dad put this together. And they were there, and they got all dressed up with the little fedora hats and the pink shoes. And
oh, yeah.
It was fantastic. But it is, you know, a lesson that I want to teach them, that it's not all about them. You know, it's my video games. It's my this. You know, taking the time to know that there are less fortunate people out there, and or there are people that really need our help in raising some type of awareness or funds so that, you know, scientists can actually come up with a cure for something. And
right.
I think, you know, instilling that in them at such a young age, I'm just hoping that they grab just some of it, if not all, and move forward with that so they'll be, you know, productive young adults. I mean, they're in the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, and they pretty much understand that, but to, you know, give it one more step forward or a broader scope, which is the reason why I like to include them in things of that nature. I mean, there is a lot more to life than just video games and school, and there are really, really people out there that need our help, and you know, I'm more than happy to help.
See, David, that's a great point. You actually bring up two good points, but one of the first ones that I'm going to touch on is the fact that you incorporate your children when you are volunteering, when you are getting these events together. You are teaching them to give out by your example. And at times, we as adults make the serious mistake that we'll go out and we can save the world, but we don't include our children. They don't even know what we're doing. They just know that mom or dad are out somewhere doing something, but they don't see what you're doing. And that actually is a disservice to the child because they have no clue. They don't understand. And I think that you can tell a child about it, you can show them the news or they can see, you know, commercials or whatever, but nothing touches the point more than when they are physically there, exposed to, you know, helping out, organizing, like you said, in the event that they were there and they wore the hats and the pink shoes and all this. Or, you know, collecting food for the homeless, I mean, all these other things. That's
right,
when it really hit home.
I think it clicked with my children. You might have heard, remember about the police officer that got killed here last year in Manchester.
Yes.
And they were talking about it on the local news. And at the end of that clip, they said to make a donation to the fund because he had two boys, make it to the Citizens Bank or whatever it was. And my daughter looked at me and said, Dad, Grandma sent me $10 for my birthday. Can we send it to his little boys? And
see, that right there is such an amazing testament to the kind of person she is. And I really believe it's because of your example that that she's like that, you know, where she can think outside herself to be able to share with others and understand that, you know, these are two little boys that no longer have their dad, and she wanted to help out. And I think that's why it's very important for us as adults to not forget that. And it's funny,
right,
too, because I know your kids are younger, but mine are older. And I remember there were times when I actually worked for a city as a community organizer, and one of the things was doing a lot of work with nonprofits. But I think it was funny because I remember a lot of events where I would take them with me when they were younger, and it was kind of like, oh, gee, you know, we got to go do this again, and we got to move chairs, and But the funny thing is that as they got older, seeing them do that on their own, and now as adults, it really blows my mind that they're the ones willing to help out. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, Toys for Tots is one of my favorite organizations to help out with, and I remember being in this warehouse that was freezing because obviously, you know, it's a warehouse, and I'm ready to go out the door, and my boys are like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, Toys for Tots. They actually went with me, and I'm looking at these grown men who are now in their 20s, and they were there for the whole week with me. And my son, who was the one that was, and I will use the word, and he knows that I mean this sincerely, he was a hellraiser back in the day. His thing was like, what's in it for me? It was always, why do I have to do this? Why do I want to do that? And I remember the last day we were there, when we were going home, it was so funny because the staff sergeant from the Marine Corps became good friends. He winds up giving the boys these, you know, Toys for Tots pins or whatever. And the funniest thing is we're sitting in the car, and my son, who he's the one that's married, he's got his face all smudged with dirt, and he's sitting there tired as anything. He says, man, he says, I could float home right now. I feel so good.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, and it was just, to me as a parent, and I'm even getting emotional thinking about it now, it was the first time in my life where you finally go, okay, they got it. They get it. Because there's a lot of times as parents we think they're not getting it. But the
right.
fact that, I mean, and your children are so far ahead of it, David, because as young as they are, they get it. And that is a testament to the type of people that they're going to be. So real quick, David, before we continue, I would like to, hey, everybody in the chat room, Bill, Carla, guest 2314, welcome. Guest 2505, welcome. JJ, nice to have you back. Lily, you're a first-time listener. Welcome to the chat room. Martha, Mary, Sally, and Sally 4680, welcome, welcome, and William. You guys have any questions, any comments, you can click into the chat room and leave it there, or you can call us. Martin Man, why don't you give our callers the number? I mean, I will finish the number.
And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can call 347-989-1473. And please pardon my voice. I do have a cold this evening. So please excuse me.
You're not going to be Mountain Man today. You're going to be Froggy.
I'm Froggy. So, but if you have any questions for me, you can hit me up in the chat room. And
also, you can go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywomanWMN, and you can listen to us that way as well. You can just click on the link and join us right now. We're talking to David, and David is giving us some great ideas.
And you can also Skype us.
That's right. You can Skype us on Ordinary Woman as well. That's up. David, so, you know, you gave these great suggestions, the great ideas. Where do you see your organization going in the coming months, the coming years?
In the coming years, because it's just so tough. What I want to do is I want to have this group formed with 100-plus members. Putting on 5 or so fundraisers a year and making a significant impact in our community right here. I mean, they can reach as far as, like I said, Chicago and Pennsylvania, but for New Hampshire Gives Back, because I'm based here up in New Hampshire, That's my goal over the next 5 years, is to be able to run annually 5 fundraisers that will bring in some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully by that point, 5 years from now, it'll be a nonprofit. It might take me that long to get it there. I don't know, but it is
mm-hmm.
it's a huge stepping stone to try to get over that first hump to get that in any state.
Yeah, it is. It's funny how the paperwork is just so ridiculous for actually being able to get that kind of status. Now, if people
right.
want to get a hold of you, how can they reach you?
They can visit the website, NewHampshireGivesBack.com, and
mm-hmm.
they can navigate that a little bit. There's one tab that says My Story, and it talks about my whole ordeal with the three-day walk last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a day-to-day thing on what had happened and whatnot, and it was pretty inspiring. I'm glad that I did it, and I probably will end up doing it again. I don't know about this year, but I definitely will definitely want to do it again. And I want to do my annual dinner theater. So I'm hoping to get you involved in that again this year. So this will be the second annual.
Absolutely. That was a blast.
Because I am I'm busy. I'm so busy this year, and I'm going to try to get that up and running. And I want to try to find a couple of local walkers that are actually here up in the area who
mm-hmm.
Are going to be doing the three-day walk. And then we will actually have that fundraiser for them. So we'll be able to sponsor them.
That's a great idea.
Awesome.
Because it's a hard road to try to raise all those funds. So I know that now that I've been there and raising the
mm-hmm.
funds and doing the actual walk, I know exactly what every walker is going through and
mm-hmm.
what it takes to raise those funds. So if I'm able to coordinate a fantastic dinner theater show with 150 people at a huge hall, I think that will definitely make an impact on a couple of walkers that are up here that are actually going to, you know, do the 60-mile walk.
That would be an amazing thing to do, and I can so see us doing it, and definitely I would love to be involved again. David, can you share something with us from the three-day walk that you came away with, something that just sticks out as making it worth
it
for you?
I said this in my story, but there was one thing that stuck out to me the best, and it was that I was icing my foot, and I was in a tent, and I was with maybe 6 other people. And strike up conversation. Of course, that's the type of person that I am. And I struck up a conversation
mm-hmm.
with a young lady that was from Boston, and she
mm-hmm.
had an ice pack on her knee. And I talked to her for about 10 minutes or so. At the end of that 10 minutes, I did not realize that she had a prosthetic arm and hand. And
just
hit home to me that although that she was missing her arm, she made a lot of sacrifices, I'm sure, that she actually
mm-hmm.
was there doing a 60-mile walk for breast cancer.
That's amazing.
And that was just incredible that someone with that much strength was able to do that.
Wow.
But just meeting everybody there, I mean, they were literally, I think they had 6,000 walkers. So
wow, that's an amazing turnout.
Yeah, you could just imagine the stories and 3 football fields full of pink tents.
That must have been such a sight.
Yeah, it was just incredible. It was just an incredible experience. And if you got listeners out there that that have the ability to do that, I 100% invest the time, and they're gonna get so much back. So much back.
Believe me, if I had a car, I'd be up there helping out as much as I could.
And the other thing is, too, for our listeners, if you're not able to walk or maybe raising some of those funds are difficult for you, you can always donate a little bit of your time and a little bit of your money to help another walker out, or you can actually volunteer at the actual three-day walk, because they always need people handing out water, or if you're a nurse or a medical assistant or a doctor and happen to have any of those training and certifications, you're more than welcome to help out as well. EMTs. Anybody that's willing to help out and just give a hand as part of the three-day walk as well. David, I am just so excited that you got to join us on the show. We're definitely going to have you back when we get closer and you start recruiting people for the dinner theater, and make sure we give you plenty of exposure so we get 150 people out there and 100 more waiting to get in, because it was such a great fun, and I know definitely that we can fill the 150 seats and continue to do even more, because it's
and Charlie will have to keep her co-hosts up to date on what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say, on a side note, David, I wind up actually coming away from that experience with some really good friendships. I mean, Eric Eastman is one of them. He's one of these people that I could have sworn I had already met. And
sure.
It turns out we hadn't. We were like Facebook friends, and we were friends on every site you can imagine. And we kind of crossed paths for different auditions. So we hadn't physically met yet. And that's what wound up happening. And we've been very blessed. We've had the opportunity to work together a couple more times since then. But that's someone that I now consider a friend and I have great respect for as an actor and as a person. So that was one of the bonuses that came out of that. And I also got to meet some amazing talents.
You just don't know how much I appreciated it beyond what your imagination, that you actually took the time to come up from Lowell. So I, too, am full of appreciation for you for doing that.
Well, thank you, David. And, David, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. For our listeners, if you have any questions or want more information from David and his organization, you can go to www.newhampshiregivesback.com. You mentioned, David, that your story's on there. Is there a way that they can meet you as well?
Yes, there is a link just to say email me, or they can fill out there's a form that they can fill out on the end.
Excellent. So remember, listeners, go rummaging through your cabinets, clean out those cabinets, get those canned goods out to your local food banks. They really need it. Another great suggestion is to clean out your closet. I love doing that. You know what? If the stuff's been in the back of the closet for a few months, and honestly, you know what? There's someone out there that really, really needs it, and you got a couple of more, so be a doobie and share it and make sure you donate it. Always donate it an extra pair of shoes. Lots of good stuff in that closet. Clean it up. Stuff around your house. Also remember the organizations that David talked about. We talked about the New Horizons Food Bank, the Habitat for Humanity, Make-A-Wish Foundation, the 3-Day Cancer Walk. And what was the other one, David? I'm sorry. The Healthy Kids Program.
Yeah.
Yes, very important. So, David, thank you so much for joining us. We definitely look back to having you, and I am so glad that we actually got to connect.
Thank you so much for both of you having me on tonight, and thank you to the listeners for listening to me.
Also, David, Mountain Man usually does this, but he's a little froggy tonight. So do you have anybody you want to say greetings to or shout-outs before you go?
Shout-out to all your listeners and to you and Chris for doing what you do.
Great.
Thank you,
so
David.
Much. Thank you, David, and have a great night. Looking forward to having
you
on the show again.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is that an amazing person or what?
That is.
And I got the privilege to work with this man at this show. And it's funny because I did not realize that was the first time he had done it.
Wow.
I did not have an idea. And I have to share a story with the listeners. Like David said, it was very hot. It was like 90 degrees out. So by the time the show started, it probably was close to 100 because we were, you know, in this little hall that held about 60-something people. Well, when they were giving out the food, because we had volunteer, actually we had waiters and waitresses that gave out the food and stuff. Well, when they were giving out the water and the drinks, there was little droplets of water falling on the floor, which was made out of marble. And on top of that, the condensation from the heat. So here I am, I'm doing this character, and it was hysterical because I have been away from acting for a while at this point, and I get this part, and I'm a French chef. So I'm supposed to come up with a French accent. Now, I had it down pat, or so I thought. Well, my wonderful husband, Mel, who loves to joke around, he dropped me off, and on the way to New Hampshire, he comes up with a French accent. With a French accent, but wait, it gets better. So he is, and let me see if I can phrase this correctly. He was acting as a French man with a Spanish accent.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So by the time we got up there, all I could hear was his, let me say something to you, but it had the French and the Spanish mixed up. So my accent that I thought I had down pat was like out the window. So by that time, I was such a nervous case. And then to top it off, I was trying to look cute, so I had my little, you know, chef costume and everything. Well, I had heels on. So there's one part where I'm running around the table as part of the character, and I swear to goodness, I didn't even realize it happened. So a couple of, last week when that happened to J-Lo at the Music Awards, I totally could relate to her. I went down like a sack of potatoes on my butt. I mean, and it was hysterical. Because
my goodness.
Eric, yeah. Eric Eastman afterwards was the one that said to me, I went down, and you could have heard a pin drop for like a fraction of a second because I went down, but I popped right back up. Thank you, years of playing soccer. And I went, and I just went into some spiel, nothing to do with the script, something that just popped out of my head. And everybody started laughing because they actually thought it was part of the play.
Well, you want to know something? And you just reminded me about something.
Uh-huh.
We had a guest on our show that went into character, and you told me about it beforehand. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
And I would love, and I think a few of our listeners would love to hear you go into that actress mode.
Oh, my goodness. I would have to practice the French because the French is like one of the things. I guess I was traumatized. I took French class for 3 years, and I think the only thing I learned was, où est mes dogs? Where's my dogs? That was it. It never sunk in. So
and I'm not even talking about French, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely. I'm going to have Eric come on the show and we can do a little improv with him because he can get anybody going. He's such an incredible talent. But it was hysterical. I was freaking dying because, I mean, I popped. And then the funny thing is, speaking of Eric Eastman, who is, like, the best person in the whole world, there's another girl who is playing another character, and she's got the high heels on, too, because she's supposed to be, like, this femme fatale kind of thing. Well, doesn't she start to go down, too, when there's a part where she's supposed to reach to one of the actors, like she's going to kill them. And she starts going down face first, and I don't know how Eric, with one hand, just popped his hand out and managed to scoop her up in midair and flip her back.
Wow.
All while maintaining his character and coming up with something off the top of his head to say to make it seem like it was part of the show. And you could see the poor girl, her face just went like beet red and pale at the same time because she really thought she was going to lose her teeth on the floor. And I was laughing my butt off afterwards when people were like, oh, my goodness, you. One lady says to me, are you like a gymnast or something? You just popped down and popped right back up. That was awesome. And I'm sitting there going, oh, man, is this lady only new?
Oh, goodness. And to our listeners, I apologize. I did try to I can't even speak.
Here. I think he needs the princess to kiss him so it can be reversed, right? You're going to have Marguerite go over there with a little crown and kiss you, get rid of that frogginess. On that note, real quick, I just want to remind our listeners that you can join us, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, woman is spelled W-M-N, or you can do what, Mountain Man?
Skype us.
You can Skype us also at Ordinary Woman, or you can call us. The call number is
347-989-1473. If you have any comments, concerns, questions, or just want to say hi, you can pop in on that line and say hello to us.
And if you really don't want to talk to us, you just want to listen to the show because you're not near a computer, you can also do that on the phone as well. If you call in that number that Mountain Man just gave you, you can actually listen to us yakking in your ear while you're going about your business.
Or Mr. Froggy, if she's putting it tonight.
Yes, I think we have a caller.
I think we do, and I don't know, but let's see.
As a matter of
caller,
fact, you do.
Someone wants to listen.
Hey. Oh, really?
Oh,
as a matter of fact,
welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show.
Goodness.
Can you imagine who's in
the
queue?
Oh, my goodness. Speak of the devil, your ears must have been ringing, my man.
Yeah, I imagine so. Actually, I had your show tonight on my itinerary to your callers who don't know me. I'm the apparently infamous Eric Eastman,
yes,
of whom you've spoken several times. I don't know who this interview was more about, but I got to tell you, I'm calling. Yeah, reputation precedes one, and it can be unnerving. But David Ducharme, your guest tonight, is a man who is an inspiration to me. And although that sounds a bit cliched and Hallmarkish, he truly is. I was a part of the same project you spoke of that we did this summer. And the work he's doing is what makes him one of many unsung heroes in our communities. And it's kind of the glue that holds our society together, men like him. And I just wanted
to... That is so true.
I wanted to go on record and really applaud him, because I don't think he got enough recognition. Not that that's what he's in it for, but
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something. Gentlemen like him are what make people go home knowing that they've made the world a better place. And so I'm proud of him, and I'm proud to be associated with him. And I just wanted to call up and say that.
That is so true. And like I said, it's funny because like my son said, that sometimes when you give out, you wind up getting more back. And I know for me, I really wasn't thinking like, oh man, it's this big sacrifice to, you know, be in this play to raise money for the cancer walk. For me, it was more about feeling like I was going to be in a laid-back environment where I could practice my craft, because I felt I was so new to working theater, especially dinner theater, because as you know, and now I found out, it can be so unpredictable.
Well, it should be unpredictable, because each show is a work of art, unique unto itself, and that's part of the beauty of it. It's also part of the terror.
Yes, I know, but I thought it was going to be unpredictable to the audience, not to the actors.
Well, makes you more believable.
But the thing to the listeners to share with them was the fact that I walked away from that not only feeling good because we did make a difference a little bit, you know, raising money, whatever, but just the friendships that I came out, like even meeting you and getting to work with you and learning so much from you. It was like, I mean, I felt truly blessed.
Likewise, truly.
I'm telling you, to be able to say that Eric Eastman is my buddy and that, you know, we have this incredible connection.
And weren't we just talking about him?
Yes, we were. That's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, oh my goodness, speak of the devil. But one of the things that I have to share with our listeners is when you walked into that room for the auditions, and this blew my mind, because one of the part you played was the detective in this murder mystery. And the way you just went in there, and there was a lot of other people that had read for that part. I'll tell you, though, when you took that part, everybody knew that was it. That's who you needed to play. How do you do that, Eric? Now that I have you, and we have a little bit of time before our next guest, I have to ask you that.
No, I'm grateful for that, and I really do appreciate you banging that particular drum. And that's, you know, what actor doesn't want the accolades, mm-hmm. but. You know, I appreciate that. I guess it's just an attitude toward your craft. I've gone pro, so you mm-hmm. when you walk into something like that, just like any job interview, you treat it like, you know, this is it. I belong here. You want me. I'm your candidate. You take ownership of the job, and you demonstrate your value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very kinetic job interview when an audition is, and you jump into the role just like you would in any. You know, with any job that you really, really want.
But there has to be a part of you that's a natural, because, I mean, obviously I've been around actors. I've seen them, you know, audition. I've seen them create characters. But it just blows my mind how you read something and then just create this character for it. I mean, it's, like I said, the nuances,
I'm going to recommend a book. To all those who aspire to do what you're describing, which I
uh-huh.
make no claim to being able to do with any proficiency, but you seem to like it.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was very impressed.
As did the casting director, obviously, because we got to do the gig. But mm-hmm. There's a book called How to Stop Acting. It's by a gentleman named Harold Guskin. I read it recently. Mm-hmm. I was impressed. It helped me, and I'm just passing it on. So props to that author. He's been a private coach to people like Glenn Close and others that, you know, really are at the pinnacle of their career. So
mm-hmm.
great book, great resource, and it talks about trusting your instincts and how to implement that ability to trust your instincts. And that would be my briefest answer to how do you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to trust what you feel. Use the force, Luke.
But you know the funny thing, though, I noticed with you, Eric, and again, I'm glad you called in because you've been on my mind. You must have gotten the psychic memo to call in.
Let us remember that tonight's about David Ducharme and the great work he's doing. And before, if I may, forgive me for
yes.
cutting you off there real quick, but
mm-hmm.
but before I forget, while this
mm-hmm.
thought is fresh in my mind, another thing I wanted to mention was that fundraiser we did for breast cancer research
mm-hmm.
fundraising was very close to my heart. I lost an mm-hmm. aunt, a maternal aunt, my
right.
mother's sister, to breast cancer
mm-hmm.
Some years back, and she was a very special person. And, you know, I've wanted to get involved in the great variety of fundraisers that exist out there for breast cancer in particular, because that cause has some meaning to me. This was the first chance I've had to actually do it. So it was a very special personal investment, and I hope not the last.
Right, and see, that was the thing that I was going to ask you, because David was talking about, you know, different ways that we can give of our time and of our effort, or, you know, even like donating food from our cabinets or cleaning out closets or whatever. How do you are able to make the connection to be able to basically donate your talent, to be able to use it for raising funds or bringing awareness or that kind of thing? Is that what motivates you? Is that what makes the character more real for you when you're doing something that you know is going for a benefit?
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you quantify earnings, or how do you quantify value?
Right.
You could walk away with a check.
Mm-hmm.
You could walk away with some applause and another entry in your resume. You could walk away with the knowledge that you've refocused the spotlight as a conduit from yourself back onto a much more important area of focus, which in this particular case was breast cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been able to use what God, the Great Spirit, the Goddess, you know, as you like it, has given you, and you can use those gifts, which in a strange economy like we have now, you know, gifts that might not always necessarily be easy to monetize.
Right.
And you can very reliably use those gifts to monetize something far more important than your own back pocket. I'd say
that's pretty potent, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
absolutely, David. I mean, Eric, and I'm so glad you said that, because it hits on the point that what David was saying, that you don't have to take out the checkbook, because that's a lot of us. We automatically think, okay, how much is this going to cost me kind of thing, and can I afford it? But even in your case where you've actually shown us that it can come down to something as simple, not that your craft is simple, but it's something as simple as donating your talent, whether it be acting or singing, or if you draw or you can paint or whatever your talent is, you can even use that tool in order to be able to raise awareness for an organization that you care about, or to combat an illness that, you know, has caused you a loved one or someone that's close to you. So there are so many ways that we can continue David's work and help with David's work just by digging deep and thinking, what are some of the things that I can do with the talents and abilities that I have been given? So that's a great point that you bring up, Eric.
Well, I mean, you know, again, it's how do you define value? In this particular case, we were able to bring value to an area of focus that people tend to forget about in our busy lives and all our individual challenges and pressures.
Absolutely.
It's hard to remember that there's ways we can contribute, and just by attending an entertaining event, we can make a contribution. But there's got to be some entertainment. So
that's true. And there's got to be hands like us to do it.
Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping they like that part too, right?
That's right. Eric, I'm going to definitely have to ask you on the show, because I know you're one of the ones that I've written a little note that I need to recontact to see what they're up to and stuff. So I'm definitely going to send you an email, because I definitely want to have you on for another hour segment, because even though we had you with John, but still, even Mountain Man said it, we're going to need like 2 hours just for Eric, because I would just love to really dig deep into some of your characters and maybe little samples of some of the work that you've done, because you have such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the craft of acting and creating these amazing characters. And the other thing that I would love to share with our listeners when we have you on is, it's funny how you always wind up with these larger-than-life characters that would be very demanding, but they seem so easy for you to create them and to actually make them your own and believable at the same time, because it'd be so easy for them to turn into like a caricature, but they don't in your hands. And so definitely we're going to have you back and share you with our listeners.
Well, I am very grateful for your flattering opinion of all that work. And I guess all I can say to that is it's only as easy as life is. And for me, you create a character, you have to create a backstory. And when you create the backstory, you got to live the backstory, even if it's on fast forward or on rewind. But you got to do it. That way you bring an honesty to the character when that moment comes and they say action or when the curtain opens or what have you. You've got that backstory and you've got all those, you know, that melting pot of feelings that brought you to this point in your character's life and ideas, so that you can portray those new moments with honesty. So I don't know if it's
awesome.
Easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's easy, but I will say that that's always worked for me. So.
Funny too, because
but again,
it's kind of like a philosophy.
Fundraising.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a philosophy we can apply to life too.
Another thing I wanted to say about David Ducharme, if I may,
mm-hmm.
and it's clearly I'm being tenacious and
pitbull-esque. Hey, I know. Go right ahead. I love it.
All right,
let's start acting here.
Yeah, no. This is he's doing
yeah.
some really fine work, and the vision that he
yeah.
shared. I was listening to your show for a while, and
mm-hmm.
the vision he shared was something I think is viable, and I think
oh, yeah.
it's duplicatable as well. I think it can
mm-hmm.
happen, and I think it can be duplicated in other cities, and it could be the start of a real grassroots tidal wave of activism that helps to fuel the effort collectively to eradicate some of these rotten diseases that are no more formidable than any other disease we've been able to get control over.
You know, and that's the thing too, Eric, is I'm glad you brought that up because that's the thing that amazes me about David because he's just so, like, humble and laid back, like, oh, I'm just doing this, you know. But he doesn't realize that his innovative thinking, you're right, this could be something that could literally sweep the country or the world where, you know, you get a group of like-minded people giving a little bit into the pot to help other people, it could really grow huge and make a huge difference in our communities if we do that.
Yeah, and it brings people together too, as he was mentioning, you know, football fields filled with people with common purpose, that for those
oh, yeah.
few days, everybody was, you know, singing from the same song sheet, and it was an amazing feeling, and I don't doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a
good
community
builder. I don't either. I think
it's
going to be an amazing thing for going forward with David, especially knowing David. I mean, he can make anything happen, so I have no doubt that he's going to be very successful. And I'm kind of excited that hopefully you and I will get to actually be in front of those 150 people or maybe more, and we know that the proceeds will be going to a great cause, a great fight, so that we can
yeah.
maybe help out a little bit in this fight against this disease, like you said.
Yeah, he's quite an artist, too. You know, he's a real insightful director and gave some great direction throughout the process. And I liked that part of it, too. So, you know, not only is he a family, devoted family man and a guy with a real civic consciousness, but he's an artist. So.
And, you know, the other thing,
you know,
too, you mentioned that he's an artist. And the nice thing that I noticed about David is that he carries the same philosophy, whether he's directing people or living life. And that's doing it by example, because I remember several times during our performance when we were rehearsing where he wanted something conveyed a certain way, he gave us the example and made it hysterical or made the point. And it's great to see that in the theater, but when you have someone that does that in real life as well, like he's been such a great example to his kids with his giving way and having them pitch in and the way they're learning how to think outside of ourselves, that's a testament to the kind of person he is.
Yeah, that's active parenting. That's responsible parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boots
Absolutely.
On the ground, showing them what accountability really is, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely, well, Eric, I'm so glad you called, and I'm so going to look forward to having you back on the show soon, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be great. Hopefully I won't be standing out in, you know, 20-degree weather while I'm talking to you like I am now.
Yeah, no, definitely. That'll be a good thing that you won't be out there in that degree weather. But make sure you're nice and warm when you do it. Oh, and by the way, where's my smiling picture of Eric with my autograph on it?
We'll get to it.
Hopefully before. Yeah?
tonight's Dave's night. Tonight's all about the smiling picture of David Ducharme. You know.
Yes, which I have to remind David. David, don't forget, if you're still listening, you have got to send me a picture of your beautiful smiling face with my little autograph on my wall of fame that I can put up. Eric, thank you so much for calling me, and I'll be reaching out for you so we can have you back on the show so you can share some of your little pearls of wisdom in your craft and in your life, and that'll be just an amazing
terrific.
It'll be a
and
good
to everybody out
to
there. One last thing to everybody out there who's moved by, you know, the causes that were discussed tonight by yourself and David, and the reality of their impact on our lives. Don't forget the good people of Haiti and what they're going through right now and the needs they have. And if you're feeling gracious as a listener and you're feeling like making a difference right now, I think one of the most acute needs that exists is the funding that's needed for the relief effort in Haiti. So jump on the Oxfam America website, make a donation. That also is a very important cause right now.
Awesome. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Eric, and I'll make sure we put that up on the website. And it's true, we definitely need to be able to help those that are less fortunate, and that country right now is devastated with the natural disaster that has happened there. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Take care now. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, to our listeners, you know, it's true. Eric made a great point. We do. We get caught up in our everyday life and we forget. I mean, you know, for those of you that have seen the news, seen some of the devastation, there's over 100,000 people that are presumed dead. There's 500,000 missing, and it's going to take years to overcome the devastation and
yes.
The need in that country was great to begin with, and it's even greater now. We need medicines. They need water. They need clothing. They need all the help that they can get. So in any way, shape, or form, if you can help out, like Eric so graciously mentioned, you can go to the Oxfam website and help out through there. Also, the Red Cross is a pivotal point that's helping out as well. And also the artists, because we do a lot of music and artists here as well with the musical persuasion. Whitecuff, he is actually from Haiti, and he also has a program set up that you can donate money through there as well. So there's many resources available that you can help out. Also, I want to throw out a caution, buyer beware. Sadly, a lot of people like to take advantage when devastation like this happens to their own benefit. Mm. So be very leery and worried about who you give money to. Make sure it's a viable organization, like Eric said, either Oxfam or the Red Cross. An actual relief effort where you know the money is going to reach the victims that need the help the most. Because unfortunately, one of my areas where it kind of makes me ashamed to be human sometimes, that when you see people hurting, that you would take advantage of that to be able to scam money from people that have good hearts and good intentions, and the money never gets to the victims. So make sure that you know where you're going, where the money is being donated to, and find out. And if you don't have money, maybe there's other ways that you can donate services, share goods. I know that they're having a clothing drive in various locations in different ways that you can help out. So, Mountain Man, how are we feeling?
Froggy. Tonight I'm froggy.
Oh, my goodness. I apologize to our listeners. I didn't know if we had a miscommunication with our guest, Mark. He was supposed to be in here for the second hour, and he hasn't called in. I apologize if maybe...
Well, we did have a caller in there a little while ago, but...
That was Mark.
No, there was a 1-1 quadruple or whatever, a line of ones, and I know that... if it was our second guest, and if you are listening, please try calling in again so we can get the correct number there. But I know we did. I've even had the trouble of all the numbers being the number one.
Actually, when the number is number one, and I forgot to mention this to Chris, that's usually a Skype number coming in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So in the meantime, since Mark hasn't been able to join us, I really would like to cover a little bit more about what David talked about and the fact that maybe we can come up with great ways that we can share with our listeners of being able to help out. What are ways that we could do? I know for me, cleaning out my closet is going to be – I have this thing that I'm, like, email about. Like, right now my closet, it looks like it exploded. Not because I have so much stuff in there, but because I actually took a couple of bags of stuff that I'm going to donate and just threw them back in there because I wanted my house to look clean and there was stuff everywhere with the clothes that I was going to donate. But you know what, listeners? Think about it. There's some stuff in there that I'm pretty sure that you can do without. And it's a good thing because karma has a way of blessing us. You know, there's that gently worn dress or blouse or pants or sweatpants or whatever that you haven't worn in a while, and you've got more than one pair.
Uh-huh.
Share it. Send it forward. There's people out there that are desperately in need of clothing. Remember, it's wintertime, too. If you have a couple of coats that maybe you haven't used in a while or they're not in style anymore and you're really not too partial to wearing them, but at the same time you feel bad throwing them out, don't throw them out. Donate them. There's a lot of places, the Salvation Army, Red Cross, Oxfam America, other places that will be willing to take those clothing, and we can donate them and be able to make sure that people have the opportunity to wear them. And instead of just sitting in our closet collecting dust and taking up room. Mountain Man, what ways do you think you have that you can come off the top of your head that's a good way to help out?
I'm sorry about that. I was coughing, but I had the phone on mute. What was the question?
Yeah,
Mr.
Okay,
Froggy
listen.
Had cough in the fit.
Mr. Mountain Man, haven't I told you to pay attention in class?
Uh-oh. The teacher's coming out. Watch out.
Yes. Always pay attention to the teacher. No, I was saying, you know, what are ways that we can help out, too? I mean, David's idea was great, you know, donating food.
Yes, and
cleaning out closets. What are other ways we can help out?
You can just help out a person in need. I mean, I spoke before. Charlie's had me on the show before, and I've told you how we could help out. And just that one item, and I'm going to reiterate what you just said, that one item that you haven't touched in over a year or two,
mm-hmm.
donate it wherever you can. You can find those yellow boxes practically everywhere.
You know, the other thing, too, that a friend of mine actually did, and she's going to kill me for using her name, but I'm going to use her name anyway. Brenda.
No. Let's not use names.
I'm using names because she's awesome. No, this is a friend of mine, so she can hate me anyway. Brenda Mercier, she's an amazing person. Her daughter is such a sweetie. Her daughter and my daughter are really good friends. But Brenda, they're actually having a yard sale in the spring, and she started planning for it a couple of months ago. So what she did is she emailed us and said if we had any stuff that we would want to donate to this yard sale, because they're actually, all the proceeds are going to go to cancer research. I thought that was an awesome idea. I would have never thought.
Yeah, I thought that would be a good thing to do, because you think about it, the yard sales are going to be coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yard sale season will be starting up soon, and it would just be a great thing if you had a yard sale. And
And the thing is, the way she's planning it is a really great idea, because it's going to be, you know how they have those multi-family yard sales where it's a couple of families or three families and they get together, so there's a lot more stuff? Well, the fact that she's reaching out to people to see if they have stuff that they can donate, that is even a great idea, because of the fact that the more stuff you have to sell, the more attractive it is for people to pull over and check things out, and more chances that they're actually.
And I know the great driveway for it, too.
I know. I wonder what driveway that would be. Well, listen,
because
my driveway rocks, because it's not only the fact that it's a wide driveway, but the cool thing is, like, the front of my house is on a busy street, and the side street is a real quiet street. So it's cool because all the kids in them play on that side, but that's where the driveway is. So trust me, we will have the good stuff on the busy street so people can pull over, and then we'll have all the other smaller stuff in the back so they could buy it. I think it's a great idea.
And we know you've got plenty of room.
You also know I got plenty of junk. That's why I got to clean out my garage. It's funny, too, because we had this thing with the kids, and I know it's not my thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, here he comes.
Oh, man, that's too funny. Someone says, has anyone seen my pants? I've lost them on Blog Talk Radio somewhere. If any of you saw American Idol last night, I missed it. See? That's what I get. We talked about this, when was it, Tuesday?
Yeah.
That I don't like watching American Idol because Simon drives me up a wall because he's so negative sometimes. Well, I guess there was some song on there about something about your pants on the floor. It's like, oh, my God.
And that's, I was hoping you would click over to the chat room and see it.
So now I'm dying.
Because I'm
going
to make a comment.
Oh.
Have you seen the chat room lately?
That's hysterical. So someone put in my chat room, GBL, has anyone seen my pants? I lost them on Blog Talk Radio somewhere. It's hysterical because this has been going on Facebook all day, and I have been dying laughing. And I'm so mad I missed it. So, and someone was telling me about it. They're like, oh, my goodness, it's hysterical. It's like, you can't get this off your head because someone's going, oh, you know, pants down to the floor or whatever. I'm like,
and
oh,
New
man.
Hampshire Gives Back is in the chat room. Yay!
David, awesome. So what we're doing is, because we, our guest, Mark, was unable to join us today. So one of the things we're talking with our listeners about is other ways that we can give back. And, you know, we came up with, Eric had some great ideas, you know, donating your talent.
Oh, he did. Even David.
Yeah. Oh, David.
Even David.
Course. Yeah, David, you know, with the canned goods, I love because that it's so funny because my kids love doing that because then they get rid of all the stuff they don't want to eat, you know, like the vegetables and the beets and all that.
But do you realize, Charlie, how many of those shelters and organizations are here in Lowell?
Well, yeah, because I know that, what's the one, I mean, just blanked out.
On Central Street?
The Merrimack Valley Food Bank. Again, here we go, plugging people that don't know, we're plugging them, but that's okay. The Merrimack Valley, it's funny because every year my son's school, Lowell Catholic, they do the food drive, and what they do is all the kids go out and leave the paper bags with the note saying, you know, we're doing a food drive, and if you want to donate any canned goods or whatever, just put them in the bags and we'll come back. And then the food bank will bring the truck to the parking lot at the school, and then the kids on that Saturday morning will go out and pick up whatever bags they dropped off. I'll tell you, though.
And that's a good thing.
It is for the kids, but I was so in awe because we got some awesome neighbors. And again, like I said, you know, I'm notorious for like, goodness, I forgot it was today. But they came back with like bags and bags. Like the seniors, they had their cars.
You forgot something today? How could you do something like that?
I'm telling you, it's bad. It's like I write myself little notes and then I look at it and go, what was it? Who do I have to call? I can't remember. But the funny thing is that I remember the last year they did it, the seniors had their cars, and they came back with trunks full of food, like bags of food, that they can do. Oh, David, you're a genius. The other great idea David had is not to forget the 5-cent can deposit that we have here in Mass. He says he's got like 600 cans under his porch. You know, that is so true. Because I hate to admit it, my kids used to do that, and now what I do is because I'm lazy. What I do is I wind up leaving all our deposit cans on top of the recycling, and I have this little old Cambodian lady. Oh, she's so awesome. She comes by and she picks them up and she does whatever with them, but that's where they go. But that's a great idea, too, to be able to, you know, use that to donate in ways to help others that are less fortunate than us. The other thing I've done in the past, like we were talking about the yard sale. Brenda, you're a genius. I don't know if you thought of it or somebody else did, but that is a great idea because she started early enough where she's been collecting items for about a month or two now. And for those of us that have room, we're holding on to them. So that by the time spring comes, you know, she's talking about, you know, April or May-ish. There's going to be
my
a lot
favorite
of
time of the month.
I should say time
of the year.
Yeah, that too. Oh, man. So it's going to be awesome to think about all the good stuff that, you know, she'll have that she can sell and that'll be able to use the money to donate it. And it's a great way to declutter our house, too. Because, you know, the landfills are just full of stuff that could have sadly been recycled or donated to someone, and we just chuck it out, and that's not a good thing either. So if you have stuff that you want to donate or you can donate, or if you want to go ahead and maybe start your own yard sale, that's a great way to do that, too. Start calling, making phone calls, and say, hey, let's save each other. And it's funny because my kids is parents, we're so funny. We say things, and we don't realize that our kids are listening. I remember saying something to my son one day, and I picked up something off the floor. We were walking somewhere, and he goes, Mommy, that's trash. And I, being the wise parent that I am, I said, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Which is true.
Yes, well, a couple of years later, the kid threw it back at me because he picked something up, and I didn't want him to pick it up. I'm like, oh, throw that out. It's trash. And he's like, one man's trash is another man's treasure, and this is my treasure. And yet, yeah.
That
so the reality is that what we think is junk, it's really not junk. It's just that we don't want it or we think it's cluttering up our life. But the reality is that it can be put to good use. And if we donate it or if we sell it and donate the money from it, that's a great thing we can do. Real quick, Huntman, give him the number.
The number is 347-989-1473, where you can call in and make comments, questions, queries, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can
Real
Skype
quick,
us.
You can Skype us, Ordinary Woman, WMN, or you can go to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/ordinarywoman, WMN, and join us in the chat room. I just had a thought. See,
uh-oh.
What happens when you're making
Is that
cake.
What I smelled all the way from
you know, it's
over
funny,
there on Wedge Street somewhere?
No, you know what cracks me up, though? We're giving them the website, but how are they listening to us if they're not on the website?
They can call in to the 347-989-1473, and you don't have to necessarily come in hit to talk to the host, but you can just listen in on the number.
No, but I actually have the answer to that. If you go to Facebook, when the announcement goes out, there's actually a little player on there, so you can actually click on it, and you can listen to our show without having to physically come into the chat room or to our website. Or there's various websites out there where we've embedded the code, and if you want to keep it, you can download the player or put it on your website so you can listen to us anytime you want. And, all you do is click on it, and then you can listen to the show whenever you want, and you don't have to come to our website if you're doing whatever else you're doing. You can minimize it while you're doing your homework or you're doing whatever else you're doing on the computer, or if you're doing some housework or whatever, you can listen to me and Mountain Man in the background while you're doing your thing. So,
and
I have
also...
No.
Yes. You can also click on my website through Blog Talk Radio. /Mountain Man, and you'll see my chat room. I don't have a show on there yet, but there is a link on that my page, and you can also befriend me because I've actually put my Facebook on there, so which
I
is
know.
Awesome.
That's cool. Real quick, I want to share a song with you. Actually, there's two songs I want to share, but the other one I haven't gotten yet, so I can't wait to share it when I do get it. But I want to share this song. If you guys remember a few weeks back, actually it was about a month or so ago, we had Papa Soul from Chicago on. Amazing talent. I mean, this man is like, whew, talent galore. He does voiceovers. He sings, he records, he plays a bazillion instruments. He does animation. He has a web series on YouTube that he does. And if you ever get a chance to check it out, it's the Feel Good Band. Just Google it on YouTube. Or you can go to the segment page and the links are there. But they're hysterical because they're like these hand-drawn puppet kind of thingies. But they're so good. And he drew them all. Not only that, he did all the voices. There's like 5 or 6 different voices that the characters have. Well, he did all of them. He also did the music. He wrote the music, played the music, sang the music, did everything. I mean, he directed, he edited, he did everything. One person. It was a one-man show. So he sent me the song, All Your Love, and I just want to share it because it's wicked cool. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to the song, and then we're going to be back in a few minutes. So, Mountain Man, you want to cue that up for us?
What one is it?
All Your Love. It's the second one down. Do you want me to cue it?
Oh, okay, I got it, All You Love. Here we go.
There you go.
Your sweet kiss,
Hey guys, and we are back. That was All Your Love by Papa Soul from Chicago. And I wanted to play that because it's talking about love. And I know that sometimes we forget that we always think about, okay, I love my family, I love my husband, wife, my dog, my house, my whatever, my shoes. But sometimes we have to extend that love further out beyond us. And one of the things that I love about David and his way of giving is that he has a love for people, a love for giving of himself, and he has taken that and turned it into action. And that's very important because, as they said, you know, and I just blanked that. Good intentions without deep.
Oh, come on. You blanking a lot tonight.
I did. I don't know what it is. The reality is that if we have really good intentions but we never do anything about it, it defeats the purpose. I mean, if we say, okay, yeah, I'm going to help this one, I'm going to help that one, but we never get around to it or we forget or whatever. It's
mm-hmm.
great that we have those great intentions. I know that, you know, we can send out positive thoughts to people that are sick. We can say prayers for them, and those are great. They're very effective. They're very good. But there's a point where we have to go beyond that to actually put our neck out, as David
mm-hmm.
has done. And I know David is so humble about it, but he has. He takes, you know, time and effort into doing this and actually trying to make a difference with his deeds and his actions to help those that, you know, are suffering from a disease or have other things going on in their life that they need help. So one of the things that we've been talking about is ways that we could help out. And I'm going to mention one of my favorite organizations, which in a
couple of... Here we go.
Yes. No, this one's legit, though. I know. Here we go. Another plug that we're not supposed to be plugging. No, my favorite organization, one of my favorite organizations that I've worked with a lot in the past is Choice to Talk.
Yeah, that is a good one. That's a great one.
Right. And having been on the state police before I retired and being part of the state guard, which is the volunteer component of the National Guard in Massachusetts, we work closely with the Marine Corps and their Choice of Talk drives. State police does that as well. And one of the things that we forget is that we are at war in the sense that we're in foreign lands and our military is going overseas to defend liberty of us, liberties of others. However you feel about the war, that's irrelevant to me because that's not what this is about. This is about.
And you just gave me another thought.
Mm-hmm.
Another great organization, even though I know we're not supposed to do this. But
it's okay
is the,
because they need our help.
But is the USO.
Yes, the USO. That's another great one. And one of the things that a lot of people might not realize is that Choice for Tots not only helps those less fortunate that will otherwise not have a toy for their child, but they also help service families. Now, you have to think, a lot of people think, well, you know, they're in the Army, they volunteer, Marines, Navy, Air Force, they're getting paid. Very true, but you have to remember, a lot of the military are volunteers. They volunteer to go there. We no longer have the draft. And a lot of them are reservists, which means
mm-hmm.
they're not in the military full time. With that
said,
when they get called up, They have jobs. They have mortgages. They have responsibilities that they have to leave behind. Once they leave that behind, the paycheck is no longer there. The amount you would make at a regular job is a lot more than what a serviceman makes or servicewoman makes when they're overseas serving in the military. That puts
right.
tremendous, tremendous financial hardship on their families. And
right.
that's especially true at Christmas time.
Mm.
And, yeah, we have women in the military, I myself included, but the reality is that the majority are men, which...
Go Marines, go Marines.
Yeah, which to this day, they are the predominantly, you know, breadwinner. They are the ones that bring the big chunk of the change. Yeah, it's true that, you know, a lot of women do make more money than men, but still, it's the norm. So what you have to realize is that they are also serviced by Toys for Tots. So that that
now,
way,
I have a question.
Mm-hmm? Yes.
After you finish your thought, because I don't want you to lose your thought.
Okay, so the thing that we remember is that Toys for Tots also uses some of the donations of toys to be able to donate a toy to families of service men and women serving overseas so that their child or children will also have a toy under the tree even when their parent is far away. So that's another great thing with this organization.
Mm.
Now, the sad thing with this organization, and I'm saying it's a sad thing because Toys for Tots is something that we associate with Christmas. And when Christmas starts to come around, you know, 2-3 weeks before Christmas, we think about it. Oh, let me donate a toy for Toys for Tots. The reality is that by that time, it's kind of late because we need the donations earlier on in the year. And, I mean, it would be great if we start getting donations March, April, May, June, July. But people aren't thinking about Christmas at that time of year. So by the time a lot of the donations start coming in, what winds up happening is we have to put a lot of those toys in storage, which costs us money. And that's used for the next year's drive. So, again, that's another organization that people might go, well, that's kind of frivolous. I mean, if you have to pick between eating food and a toy, the kid can do it out. But no child should have to do without a toy. And even as it is, Toys for Tots predominantly services kids under the age of 13 because people don't think about older kids. So if that's another organization that I'd like to plug out there, if you're thinking about making donations, reach out to the Toys for Tots now if you want to make a small donation or whatever, or if you want to volunteer for this year.
But you said something earlier, Charlie, that really hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's wintertime, and you
right.
plugged that earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Anton Cleaners, I'm not plugging, I'm just saying the name.
We can plug Anton's because they're awesome, and go. I know exactly where you're going with this. It's great. Keep going.
And if you think about it, in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
they do a drive, a coat drive. If you have any old coats or something, you bring it to any Anton's Cleaners, and they'll clean it and give it to an organization that gives clothes out to the people who need jackets.
Right. And again, it was what we were talking about earlier, that there's a lot of good stuff that winds up in landfills, and jackets is definitely one of them because... And be honest, I know I've done it. We have a jacket that might have belonged to one of our kids, and we have some sentimental value attached to it. But the reality is there's kids out there that need, really, really need those coats, really adults that really need those jackets. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I volunteered at different organizations where I will see a mom or a dad come in, and they're down on their luck. And the child will have a coat. Parents don't, because if they have to pick between a coat for them and a coat for their child, you're doing the right thing. The coat's going to go to the child.
Yeah.
So, again, if you have jackets that you can donate, gently worn, Anton's is great because they actually clean the jackets, they repair them if there's anything that needs to be repaired on them, and they make sure that they get to people that need them. The other thing we have to remember, this winter in the New England area has been brutal. Brutal with the cold, bitterly cold. The cost of fuel is expensive. It's ridiculously high. you talked about the fact that people are doing without because they've lost their jobs, some of them are losing their homes. They can't afford the heating oil. So that's another way that we can help out. I know, again, here we go with the plugs. The gas company. I know, we're like notorious for plugging things.
We've got
waiting for the day to get assisted desist or even, either that or I would love to get a, you know, thank you and get officially sponsored by whoever. But, no, these are great things that they do. I know the gas company actually has a program where they, when they send out their bill, you can actually donate a certain amount of money. It can even be as little as a dollar of, you know, when you pay your bill. And that goes towards a fund that they have for people that cannot afford fuel or gas. And I know there's a couple of organizations that help with the oil.
And I'm going to continue on to that thought, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Just think about it this way. You think about it, you're at the register, and you see these cans.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I'm saying cans because I don't want to do any more plugs on my end. But
know,
you see
we're like
these
plugging commercials here, yeah.
But you see those cans, and to all our listeners, you know what I'm referring to.
Right.
But just even your small change helps that can drive out or that organization out.
You know, it's funny you brought that up. That reminds me, a couple of years ago, one of my kids' school had a penny drive.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They had a penny drive, and it was pretty funny because I have to admit, I was very upset. And I wasn't trying to be a brat, but I was very upset.
Because
one of my kids said, you know, we're having a penny drive. Can I take these pennies? I'm like, sure, because I always have like a jar full of pennies and change. So, yeah, they took the pennies or whatever because they had a competition. Whatever class brought in the most pennies.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so they were very motivated. So I'm like, sure, you can take the pennies. Well, I had totally forgot. I had probably close to like $25 in pennies that I had put in, you know, those little paper roller things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listeners, I am not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. You can even tell my husband. He thinks that I go overboard a little too much. But I was upset because it took me days to roll those fuckers to those paper thingies. If any of you have ever done that, it's like, okay, you got to have 50, then you got to stick them in the paper thing, and you got to stick your fingers in there, kind of like that, the Chinese yo-yos that they call, where you get your fingers stuck.
Uh-huh.
So you got to get it in there, and then you got to fold it right, and make sure the pennies don't tip over, and then when you have the little thing folded, you got to put your account number or whatever on the thing before they'll take it. So I felt I had earned my $25 in pennies, and I was going to go do something silly with them. So I was very upset. I went looking for my $25 in pennies because I was going to take them to the bank, and they were gone.
And you forgot. You had said it was okay for them to take it to the penny drive.
No. I meant the pennies in the jar. I never mentioned my $25.
but you have to think about it.
Oh, my goodness.
You
it was
were,
funny, though.
You were a kid at one point, and I'm bringing this up for a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were all were kids at one point, and you know, as a kid, you would always go scrounging for money in mommy's bag.
Well, yeah, but that's different because the school's changed. Mommy didn't spend a couple of days rolling them suckers into those paper things. That was a lot of work. I was so upset. You know, I think I would have been less upset if they had just taken the whole jar.
But here's what I'm saying.
And somebody else would have rolled it. I was upset because I was the one that did all the work. But, you know, it's funny. And, again, it goes to show how we can be so selfish sometimes. I was having one of those me moments. Well, the funny thing is that my son comes back about a week later, and I'm like, where's my pennies at? He's like, oh, Mommy, you said I could take them. I'm like, oh, yeah. But the funny thing is his class obviously wound up winning the pizza party.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was. But the thing, it wasn't even that. I mean, obviously he was excited about the pizza, but he was excited about the money that they made, that they were able to donate to. Actually, I think it was to the food bank.
But here's what I'm saying is, if you think about it, you're sitting there with your kid. You're trying to think of an idea to get your kids more involved in something
mm-hmm.
that you're doing.
Right.
Okay, and this is where I was going with that point a minute or two ago, is what if you have your kids sitting there helping you to roll these coins, and then what if they watch you and watch where you put them, and then something like this happens? Don't you think they're going to go to that spot and grab those coins and put them in that jar at school?
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I learned my lesson, so the next time I had a bunch of chunk of change, what I did is I had them roll them with me so they realized how much work it was.
Which is good. And that's one thing that I would love to see families do, is getting the kids more involved. And I'm not... David, you are awesome. David, you are awesome. You are able to get your kids to help you so they can realize what is going on.
You know,
and I really have to hold that up because...
Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm saying. David is such a great an example, and I'm not going to say, I mean, I like helping out, but I'm not gonna lie, and you know me, Chris. There are times that I'm like, why do I have to bake cookies? Can't someone else bake the dang cookies? You know, because it's like, again, you get into that selfish mode. But it's funny when your kids are the ones that actually come back and throw that at you in a good way, where it's like, whoa, here's
but
the
I'll
stuff
say
that
this.
I was trying to teach them, and here they are bringing it back.
But I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
You are a great... Thank you! And you're welcome, David. You're welcome. I have to say, I have to hold you up, Charlie, because over this last year and a half or so of 2009, the end of 2008, 2009, and throughout 2009,
mm-hmm.
I have to hold you up because there were times that I needed visitors because of my procedures.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold,
Tiny Tim showed up.
Exactly.
You
to
know,
our listeners.
For our listeners, oh my goodness, it was so funny. I guess Chris and I are such close friends that we decided to have busted legs at the same time. It was crazy, right, Chris? That was the weirdest Thanksgiving. I think was it 2 years ago. Chris actually wound up having an accident. You slipped under the car, and what did you break? Was your leg, right?
Was my femur bone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest bone to break. Okay. Now,
yeah,
to our listeners, I am a person with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have spina bifida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there are different levels of spina bifida. But all in all, it's a disability. And you know, with people with disabilities, their bodies may not heal as well, or we have problems with our body, whatever it may be. And
see, that's another thing that I'm glad you're bringing it up, Chris, because that's another thing that I took for granted. And I'm glad you brought this up, especially because we're on the theme of giving and helping out, because, okay, I've known you for years. I know you have this disability, and I've always admired you because, for our listeners, also, Chris uses a wheelchair. He doesn't want to be helped. I mean, he's got it down to a system where he will put the wheelchair in the back of my truck, and he can walk to the front of the truck. You know, he's got it down, and he knows how to get into the truck. You know, this is whole things, and I'm sitting there going.
And to our listeners,
mm-hmm.
this was before my accident.
Right. So what wind up happening is it was an icy day, and you wind up slipping and falling, and you wind up breaking your leg. And again, this is funny how life lessons will kick us in the butt, because at that time I was having a procedure done on my foot and took it for granted, easy procedure, in and out, you'll wear a cast for a couple of weeks, and you'll go back to being your manic self. Not exactly what happened. What happened was that when they got in there, they realized there was a lot more that needed to be done. So my very hyper self wind up flat on her back in bed for nearly 6 months. And when I say I was ready to go kill myself because it was driving me crazy, that's how bad it was. But that's when Chris wound up having the accident. It was funny because I said to my husband, I want to go visit press. And my husband's like, you're on crutches. I'm like, I got this. How hard can it be? I see Chris do it all the time. Holy moly. Just getting down my stairs from my bedroom to the downstairs and then another set of stairs. And, of course, Chris, you're a great role model. I did it the way Chris does, on his butt. Shimmy down the stairs on my butt, shimmy on the thing, and then on the crutch and into the car. And by the time I got to Chris's hospital room, I was exhausted. I'm looking at Chris. How in God's name do you do this all the time? I'm going to hold you up because it just blew my mind. It gave me a whole new respect for people with disabilities. It gave me a whole new respect for how much I take for granted, because the reality is that I knew that at the end of whatever, eventually my mobility would come back. I wouldn't need the crutches anymore. And you know, people with disabilities aren't that lucky. They still have to deal with their disabilities on a daily basis. So it gave me a whole new respect for how challenging and difficult. And now I understood what Chris was talking about.
And this is one thing that I am going to do now that we've really brought this up, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you are doing the Wall of Fame.
Yes.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
I, as Mountain Man slash Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am going to try to get over to see you,
mm-hmm.
or you come over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like to get a picture or
mm-hmm.
two of good ones that we can put on the site.
We definitely need to put those up. And the thing is, like I said, Chris, it just blew my mind how – and that was another thing that one of the organizations that I wind up working with was the I just blanked out. It was actually the Disabled Veterans Organization, because of the fact that it really humbled me, because I was always very active and I was always able to do all these things. And like I said, my so-called disability was short-lived and I got over it, thank goodness, and that was it. But here are people that have been active their whole lives, whether they be servicemen or, you know, people that worked or whatever and had an accident, like with the disabled veterans, they were in the war or had some disabilities. Now they have to come back to a world where they're not as mobile. And they have all these other challenges to deal with, which can be very frustrating when you're used to running around and doing whatever you want. So that's another organization that could use your help. We keep forgetting that the war has been going on for a long time. And for every casualty that we have where a service person passes away, there's a good 100 to 200 equivalents that are injured in battle.
Mm.
And are lifelong injuries that they're going to have to deal with. That they're going to have to deal with prostheses. They're going to have to deal with learning to readjust their way of life. They're going to have to come
mm-hmm.
back to a house that is no longer friendly for them because they can't get around in it anymore. So those are
right.
other ways that we can, or organizations that we can help out. Man, I can't believe the time flew by because this is such a topic.
I can't believe it either. But just to a lot of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You, Charlie, you've seen what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I'd like to try to challenge is if you see somebody struggling, try to assist them. If they don't need the assistance, then you've done your deed. You've
right.
at least asked the person, do you need some assistance?
Not only that, when you're talking about asking for assistance, there's another thing that goes with that. Some of us feel awkward around people with handicaps. Jeez, people, look them in the eye.
I got 90
seconds.
Hey,
what's up? How are you? You know, what's going on? Treat them like a human being, because they are a human being. They just happen to have a disability. So thank you so much for everybody that joined us in the chat room. Bill, Carla, JJ, Lily, Martha, Mary, New Hampshire Gives Back, David. Amazing, amazing. Oh, can't wait to have you back on the show. Sally and Sally 4680 and William. And to all our other listeners, wherever you may be. Oh, shout out to Natalie in Florida. We're going to have her on the show back to discuss some of her things. But thank you so much to everybody. Eric, for calling in. And to the upcoming people that we have Monday, our show will be at 8:30. We're going to have an 8:30 show. It's an hour segment. Real exciting. Can't wait to tell you more about it, and it's going to be a great show. So thank you so much for everybody, and remember, Mountain Man, why don't we give them the tagline?
Don't let anyone ever steal your dreams away.
And the theme for the year is nothing is impossible to a willing heart. So good night, everybody. Have an amazing weekend, and we look forward to hearing from you and seeing you on Monday. Have a good night.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong.
I'll talk to you shortly, Charlie.
The least safest, not stop and have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose. I'm a warrior kid, I say.